If you've got a Bible, which I hope you have, because of my age, I'm reading this big print Bible. I see some of these modern translations, the tiny print, how people can read it, I do not know. 1 John, chapter 1. In one of the choruses, he talks about God being light. It's interesting to note that in our society that we are living today, there is a deliberate aim in muddying the waters. Nothing clear, distinct, or even relevant to the spiritual welfare of our nation. The reason why the waters are being muddied is that so people cannot make up their minds clearly and distinctly what's right and what's wrong. Everything is now relative. In other words, if it's okay, do it. If it's not, don't. And of course, that changes all the time. Well, it's nothing new, because in the early stages of the church, there was those who didn't want people to follow the truth, and they came into the church to try and deceive and lead people astray. But John wanted the church, the early church, to know there is a right and there is a wrong. You have to make up your mind. You make the choice who you're going to follow. So we got a reading from 1 John chapter 1. Notice the way he writes this, it's clear, distinct, not difficult to understand, this is what we believe sort of attitude. Something to stand on, a firm foundation. That which from the beginning, if you remember in his gospel, what was the first line? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What was the first line in Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Now, John, of course, was writing from personal experience. You cannot say what he said here, because he actually saw Jesus Christ with his own eyes. He actually held him and touched him. He was real. And the only way he could express it was this. He was the Word of life. He was the very means of your spiritual being. For the life was manifest. In other words, it was no longer an expression in a document that was read in the synagogue or in the temple. The life he talked about became a real person. This life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you eternal life, or that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. So he's dealing with an eternal destination. His whole thoughts circle around that idea that God was the Word of life. The Word of life was made manifest, revealed in an actual person, and that person is eternal life in himself. When Philip said, "Show us the Father," Jesus says, "Have I not been with you, Philip, which is a long time, and you haven't recognized who I am? He that has seen me has seen the Father." So as far as John was concerned, Jesus Christ was a manifestation of God in the flesh on this earth. That which we have seen and heard declare we to you. We are bearing a witness. We are testifying of the reality that we've experienced so that you could experience it for yourself. That which we have seen and declare unto you. Something that is real and valuable you want to talk about. That which is precious, that which has changed you and is changing you into a different person, who has brought you into an intimate relationship with God, even to those who believe in his name. But notice this. Why is a declaration necessary? Well, it's simply this, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a totally different person that we see when Jesus was alive here on the earth. John and all the other apostles had had an experience with Jesus that was transforming them. Now John was declaring what he now believed. We want to tell you about Jesus so that you can join with us in fellowship. And our fellowship together is a fellowship with God, the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you that your joy might be full. Sometimes we don't fully comprehend exactly what God is saying in his word, and we get discouraged. We don't pursue it. If you want a diamond, you've got to dig deep for it. And when you've got it, you need to clean it, polish it, and shape it so it reflects the light. It requires hard work. Sometimes there are some people who can't be bothered, and there are those who are committed and dedicated to what they believe. And because they've got that commitment and that dedication, they spread their message, even though it's opposed to the Christian message. They are committed and dedicated to it. Notice he uses the plural here rather than the singular. And these things we write unto you, that your joy might be full. So there's two things we see here. It wasn't just John who believed these things. It wasn't just John who was writing these things. There was a company of the saints who were involved in putting this message forward. And the reason for it is that their joy wasn't quite topped up. You know, you've heard the story about a glass half empty or half full. He's saying your joy may be full. Now, we may have an understanding. We may know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. But there's always a lot more that we can understand and come to know. He says, this is what we're trying to get over to you, so that your joy might be right at the top, full to overflowing. This then, he says, is the message. I'm sure you work with people. Wherever you work, you may live in a community, you may live in a house where there are people who don't know Jesus, but you have within you a message that can transform their lives and make their joy full as well. This then is the message. Now, where did the message come from? It wasn't their own message. It wasn't something they inherited. It wasn't a part of their culture at all. It's something they knew nothing about until they found Jesus, or was found by Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Most of them had been brought up in a religious household under the auspices of the Ten Commandments and the rules and regulations of Judaism. They really didn't know God. They knew about him, but didn't know him. So John's saying, this message we're declaring to you, it's a message that we've heard from him. So it's not our message. It's not my message, said John. It's his message. What we're saying to you, what we're declaring to you, is actually Jesus talking to you personally. As he spoke to us, we speak to you the same words. So what is John talking about? He wants to separate two things. In the mind of John and in the mind of the scripture, in the mind of God, there's only two things. Good or bad. Light or darkness. There's no such thing as grey areas. There's no such thing as muddying the water. As far as God's concerned, it's clear. Jesus said one day, can you have salty water coming out of a spring? And the answer is no, you can't. It's either salty water or it's spring water. Even as Christians, there is a danger. We can try and put a shade here and a shade there of a meaning instead of not going directly to the real meaning of what God is saying. We like to say, well, perhaps it means, no, it's either black or white. It's either true or a lie. John wanted to tell the early Christians, you've got to make up your mind what you really believe. Because if you don't, there are people who will sneak into your life, into your church, and they will deceive you. There are many false religions and false teachers in the church today. And the people are led astray is because they don't know what they believe. So it's important that when you find Jesus as your personal Savior. I remember when I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior, they took us on one side and they talked to us. And they said, there's three things we want you to remind you of. Bear this in mind. This is important for your future spiritual welfare. One, learn how to pray. Come regularly before God in prayer, in faithful prayer. Secondly, spend time with God in His Word. So spend time with God in His Word because that's His message to you and I. And thirdly, bear witness for Jesus. And this is what John was doing. He was bearing witness along with others in the early church. And he makes some statements here. In verse 5, God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Now, it's a declaration of a truth. God is light. Now, when we came in this church this morning, I know it's light outside, but normally if we come at night time for a meeting, it's dark. And it remains dark until we put on the light. Once you put on the light, darkness disappears. There is no darkness where there is light. And that's what he's saying here. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And then he says, he wanted to put into their minds about their communion and their fellowship with God. Now, I've made a statement that says God is light. And in God there is no darkness at all. Now he says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're deceiving ourselves. In this version it says, we lie and do not the truth. So he says, it's clear cut. If you're walking in God, you can't be walking in darkness at the same time. Jesus, when he was here on earth, said, men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Any good man, he said, you'll bring what is done to the light to see whether it's of God or not. Sometimes Christians get confused. I'm not sure whether this is right or wrong. I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Well, bring it to the Word of God, and you'll find it in the Word of God. It'll make it clear. As far as John was concerned, if you're walking in God, you're walking in the light. Now, we know in the wilderness journey of the people of Israel, during the daytime in the desert, the temperature used to go up to 40 or more degrees. So it was extremely hot. So to shade them from the heat of the day, God turned into a cloud and shaded them from the heat of the day. But when the sun went down, the temperature in the desert, and I tell you, we've been in the desert, it really falls rapidly and it's extremely cold. Then the cloud suddenly turned into a fire. So they had light during the day, they had light during the night, but they also had warmth. And wherever they went in the wilderness for 40 years, because you remember, they rejected the witness of the two men who said were able to go in. God took them back into the desert, and for 40 years, they had that same companionship of God. They never walked in darkness. When he got up and moved, they got up and moved. When he stopped, they pitched their tents. That was their fellowship with God. He says, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're deceiving ourselves. That's what a lie is, isn't it? It's a deception. And we know who the father of lies is. But he says, on the other hand, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The reason why churches split and Christians fall out is because they're not walking together in the light. They're being deceived. If we, and he puts the responsibility on you and I, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the next part is so wonderful a thought that you need to think about it more and more each day. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. It cleanses us from all sin. When we celebrate communion, we're talking about the broken body of Jesus, but also the wine represents the shed blood of Jesus. So he says, if you walk in the light, there's two things happen, and they continue to happen every day of your life and your walk with God. The first, you'll have fellowship with others, with like minds. Secondly, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sins. And then he deals with people who think, you know, they're above this. You know, I don't know whether you've ever met some self-righteous Christians, but I'm sure there are a few about. I dare say I've committed that sin myself on occasions. He says, if we say we have no sin, what happens? You simply deceive yourselves. You simply deceive yourself. And what's worse, what you thought was the truth that was in you isn't at all. So you've been deceived. To such an extent, the truth no longer exists within you. But then verse 9, which is one of the verses that I'm sure we all understand and know of by heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. We often use that verse when we're witnessing to people about Jesus, but we need to apply it to ourselves so often and understand the reality of it. If is a question mark, isn't it? If you don't do it, you don't receive it. We're talking today about some Christians who say they cannot forgive somebody for what they've done against them. But when you read the Lord's Prayer, you have no option. Because unless we are prepared to forgive others, then we ourselves won't be forgiven. And John says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God out a liar. And worse still, his word is not in us. His word is not in us. So we need to remember this wonderful truth about God. If we could appear before him right now, you would experience pure delight and the light of his presence. Remember Isaiah, when he had his vision of God. He says his train moved the temple. Everything about the presence of God was glorious, beyond description. Beyond description. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him but walk in darkness. See, as far as John was concerned, you are either one or the other. There is no shades of grey. There's no muddy in the waters. You're either walking with God or you're not walking with God. And he says, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's that wonderful oneness and communion with God that we never had until we came to Christ. It didn't matter what your background was. Until you found Christ or were found by Christ and invited him to come into your heart and life, and then was baptized in the wonderful name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, until you came into that experience, you had no fellowship with the light. All you had fellowship with was darkness. But when Jesus came into your heart, light broke forth. He wanted the people of his day to remember this. We cannot say we have no sin. If we say that, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But, he says, on the other hand, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. John had so much on his heart, Lord, to say to the church in his letters. And when we read about John in the Gospels, even in his own Gospel, he reviewed himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. John recognized and experienced the love of Christ for him, to him, and in him. He now had come to a place of commitment and dedication when he recognized who Jesus really was. And that made all the difference to his life. Not only did he know about God, he now knew God. And as he testified that he'd seen and handled the word of life, we hadn't had that privilege yet, but one day we shall see Jesus. And when we see him, we should be like him. But until that happens, Lord, we've only got the experiences and witness and testimony of other people, except our own personal experiences in our devotion to him. And as I was told, Lord, all those years ago, three things I needed to do on a regular basis. That used to be the food, bread and food of my life. If it wasn't, then I would never grow and develop as a Christian. I needed to pray. Not out of duty, but out of a desire. I needed to read God's word and listen to him speaking to us from the pages of his Bible. And then I need to tell others about what Jesus was doing for us and for me. And so, Lord, we have a privilege because we serve a God who is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. There's no need for any Christian to walk in darkness, because we have the word of life. We have Jesus in our hearts. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, Heavenly Father, whatever we think, whatever we do, let us bring it under the magnifying glass of God's word. And when we doubt something and worry whether it's right or not, we should apply the word of God to it. And if it's not applicable, we leave it alone. I remember, Lord, my old youth leader saying, when in doubt, leave it out. And how true that is. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll just bless our time of fellowship. We just thank you, Lord, for bringing us safely here, and we pray that you'll take us safely home. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, as we go into a new week, help us to go with you and keep in your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.